So as we discussed, Anapanasati Sutta is available in Majjhima Nikaya, one of the very interesting sutta where Buddha directly talks about breathing meditation or mindfulness and breathing. So this mindfulness on breathing is one of the widely used meditation technique because of its simplicity and again its ability to take us to very profound states. So as we all know, in this sutta, Buddha explains this whole process in 16 steps. And the first four steps covering Kayanupassana, next four steps covering Vedananupassana, next four steps covering Chittanupassana, and next four steps covering Dhammanupassana. So this Anupassana actually helps us to further develop mindfulness. And in a way, we are starting with very basics. Say, for example, in the very first Kayanupassana section, Buddha simply asks us to be mindful about breathing without any much detail. Just be aware that at this moment, in-breath happens. At this moment, out-breath happens. So after that, he asks us to see little detail. So he is emphasizing some details where we are requested to see whether the breath is longer or shorter. So now we are paying little more attention and trying to figure out whether in-breath is longer or out-breath is longer, or whether in-breath is shorter or whether in-breath is out-breath is shorter. So as a result, our mindfulness increases, and not only that, this clear comprehension, sampajanya, going to start. You know this, when we are trying to figure out very minute detail, that is the shades of sampajanya, clear comprehension, starts to join with us. Now we don't stop there. We are further requested to see all phases of the breath. So it has some very soft beginning, and then it increases, and then it reaches to its threshold, and then it disappears. And then after a little gap, the out-breath begins. That also starts with a very gentle, soft manner, and then that increases, and that also disappears. So this is the typical cycle, and we are requested to see all this cycle. So this is not an easy task in a way, because breath itself is quite very subtle phenomenon, and in order to see its various phases, various aspects, is quite challenging. So you need to have a fair amount of mindfulness to do this, and therefore Buddha asks us to restrain ourselves in these stages. Sabbakaya patisamvedi asa sissamiti sikkhati. Sikkhati, the term sikkhati actually emphasizes that we need to be quite restrained in this process, where we are not changing our posture, we are maintaining it properly, we are not breathing forcefully, and we are not allowing the mind to wander. So likewise, we have various ways of restrainment, and we are trying our best to maintain it, so that we are able to recognize various facets of the breath. Now, this whole process actually leads to develop bojjhangas as well. Now, last time we discussed how bojjhanga, the seven enlightenment factors, are going to develop using Vedananupassana. You know, as in the diagram is shown, Anapanasati can be the entry point to various Anupassana, various contemplations. Either it may be related to the body, Kayanupassana, related to the feeling, Vedananupassana, related to the mind, Chittanupassana, and related to various phenomena, Dhammanupassana. Now, when we are dealing with any of these Anupassana, any of these sections, seven enlightenment factors are going to develop. So this is another section that we need to discuss. So just to give you a little idea, if you are considering Kayanupassana section, so when mindfulness is well established, then only we would be able to recognize whether the breath is long or short. Because otherwise it's quite difficult. Now, when mindfulness is established, if we know this breath is longer compared to the previous breath, or this in-breath is shorter compared to the previous in-breath. So likewise, if you are able to do some amount of comparison, that indicates well-established mindfulness. Well-established mindfulness, Buddha says, this is the beginning of Satisambhojjhana, mindfulness enlightenment factor. So again and again, this whole process repeats. So next, in-breath also contributes a little amount of mindfulness. Little amount of mindfulness towards this Satisambhojjhana. And next, out-breath similarly contributes to little amount of mindful Satisambhojjhana, and that also increases, that also develops. So this is the, in a way, the entry point, this is the beginning. As we maximize it, as we capitalize it, as we do it again and again, so this mindfulness enlightenment factor, Satisambhojjhana, is going to further and further develop, further and further going to increase. And as I said, when we are looking at minute details, whether it is long, whether it is short, then this is the beginning, this is the middle, this is the end. So likewise, when we do that kind of an exercise, so that contributes towards the Dhamma Vichaya Sambhojjhana, investigation factor, enlightenment factor, which deals with investigation, Dhamma Vichaya. Dhamma Vichaya develops because now our mind in a very mind is in a very calm position, and it is well established. And then we are now searching little detail, minute detail. We are investigating minute details, the subtle detail. We are examining this phenomena very closely. So this examination, this investigation is the one contributing towards Dhamma Vichaya. So the Dhamma Vichaya Sambhojjhana is going to develop. And if we continue this whole practice, it's coming to its culmination, its fulfillment. So similarly, in order to do this process again and again, we need a fair amount of effort, because this process is not that attractive. At the beginning, it is somewhat difficult even. So we need a fair amount of effort to continue. So the effort enlightenment factor, Virya Sambhojjhana, also going to contribute, also going to improve. So if everything is going well, so then Piti Sambhojjhana, that is the rapture, going to arise, because we were in a little difficult situation. Our mind was restless. It's jumping towards the past, towards the future. But now, ultimately, we were able to succeed. So as a result, we have some comfortable feeling. We feel at ease. Little happiness going to arise. And that's the beginning of rapture. That is the beginning of Piti Sambhojjhana. And as a result, once we continue that again and again, this Sambhojjhana is going to develop. Now, Piti leads to Passaddi. That is where, Passaddi, this tranquility. Tranquility is where when the body feels comfortable and the mind feels comfortable. Body feels little at ease. Mind also feels at ease. Because we don't need to struggle now. Now the mind fairly behaving well. Mind is well tamed now, well focused. Whenever we want to observe any kind of a phenomena, attention is there. We don't need to have any too much effort or too much exercises to do this. And the mind is now behaving really well. So we are in a little comfort zone. So the tranquility, Passaddi, is going to arise. Now you feel like body floating, body feeling like quite lighter, and mind is also quite happy. So all these are, in a way, the symptoms of rapture, piti, and tranquility, Passaddi. So when the whole body and mind become such kind of a happy situation, comfortable situation, mind easily get concentrated. This is the Samadhi Sambhojjhana, concentration enlightenment factor. So you can understand now the body has to be quite comfortable. Mind also has to be a little happy in order to begin the Samadhi, in order to begin the concentration. So this is where slowly, slowly mind get collected, mind get well focused, mind get well concentrated. So this leads to further and further develop concentration enlightenment factor. And suppose now everything is in good shape. Suppose now you are observing each and every breath without missing any breath. And you can clearly recognize all faces. And breath is also calming down. At this moment, you have nothing to do. So you simply have to watch. So this simple watching, simple letting it happen, is the beginning of equanimity. So as you continue, the upekkha going to do. Now, I have just explained related to the kayanupassana. You can apply the same approach, same model to chittanupassana as well. Only difference is, now we are watching the mind through the mind. Suppose there is a kind of thought arising. Suppose this is a kind of lustful thought. If you are able to recognize this lustful thought as lustful thought, that means you are no more victim of it. You are not promoting it. You are not exaggerating it. You are not suppressing it. But rather you recognize lust as lust. Suppose you are going through a little angry situation. Now if you can recognize anger as anger, objectively, then that indicates you are no more a victim of anger. Rather, you are able to watch anger as anger. So this is actually where mindfulness has established. Mind is going through some kind of turbulence, some kind of defilement, but we are no more a victim of that. We are able to come out of it and watch it distantly. Watch it like a third person. So this is where we have some kind of a refuge from mindfulness. So we have establishing this refuge, mindfulness, and from that, while being there, we are watching all these various mental states, various thoughts arising. They are trying to invite us, trying to sort of compel us, trying to invite us. Various things are there trying, but we have our own refuge. We are no more victims of them. And again, we are not afraid of them either, because we have some confidence. This already developed mindfulness is kind of a refuge, kind of a oasis for us to maintain. So as a result, all these various defilements, we are able to recognize. Very clearly, we don't go wrong. We are not misunderstanding lust from anger. Lust and anger. We know clearly this is anger. It is not lust. And this is lust. It is not anger. So likewise, we can clearly recognize. So all these things indicate we have mindfulness enlightenment factor, sati sambojjanga, as well as we can clearly recognize each whatever the hindrance. And that indicates we have investigation. We have the examining ability. We can observe it clearly. So that is the investigation or Dhamma Vichaya. So this can be either wholesome or unwholesome. Say for example, your mind now going through some loving kindness thought. So rather than you are trying to develop loving kindness here, you can recognize loving kindness. Clearly recognize, okay, now mind is going through some loving kindness. You didn't go wrong, but you clearly recognize, okay, this is metta. This is not anger. And again, once it is arising, you clearly recognize it. And once it is there, you could recognize it. And when it is fading away, that also you could recognize. So this indicates how clear is your mind. How precise you are watching. So this all actually indicates the investigation. So more and more we are being aware of our mind very clearly when we are able to recognize each and every thought. So that indicates mindfulness is well established. And again, the Dhamma Vichaya, investigation enlightenment factor, is also increasing. Now, in order to continue this whole process, we need a lot of effort. Because if we give up, then again, we become a victim of whatever the process, whatever the mental stream of thought, we become a victim of that. in order to maintain our refuge, so this is the mindfulness, so we have to have some amount of effort. So on that effort, we continue again and again. Today also we are observing, tomorrow also observing, day after tomorrow also observing. So kind of a continuous effort is maintained. So as a result, Viriya Sambodhanga is going to develop. Now, time to time, everything is in a very comfortable situation. Mind is in a calm position where there is no any kind of a turbulence. Mind is quite happy, serene, tranquil. And this is where kind of a PD rupture can arise. And that also we can recognize. That also we can understand, okay, there was no rupture, but now mind is little happy. Soft happiness, niramisa piti, going to arise. It is not something that we gain happiness by looking at various sights, or we are not getting happy just by hearing various sounds. Rather, this is simply a mental exercise where you are watching the mind, and mind is in a very serene situation. Suppose mind is entirely free from defilements now. So as a result, you can understand, okay, after a long time, my mind become fairly pure. Mind is in a very restful situation. Mind is at ease. There is no friction at all. And all the cluttered situation, all the restlessness in the mind, everything disappears. Now, all this indicates, so mind is in a tranquil position. And this concentration is little, in a way, we can say, different from typical samatha concentration. Because in typical samatha concentration, you are expected to pay attention onto a still object. Say you are watching a kasina, kind of a sign. So we assume this kasina, this sign is stationary and is good and is stable. But here, when we consider the concentration arising at Chittanupassana, we can tell it is, in a way, it is twofold. So when we clearly recognize each and every thought without misrepresenting, without misunderstanding. So this also requires a fair amount of concentration. This we can say actually Kanika Samadhi, because then and there your attention you need to maintain. New thought arise, you are recognizing it. Another thought arise, you are recognizing it. Another thought arise, you are recognizing it. It's a kind of a dynamic process. And each thought assume disappear. And now new thought arise, and you can recognize. So you have to have this instantaneous concentration, momentary concentration. So this is where the Kanika Samadhi is at his play. But on the other hand, assume everything now disappeared. All the thoughts disappear. The mind is in a very calm, tranquil position. And this is also a concentration. And we can say it's fairly a kind of a vipassana concentration. Because of our vipassana, because of our proper insights, we are able to get this kind of a concentration. This is not a focused attention kind of concentration, but rather a kind of an open awareness. So there are slight differences between focused attention and the open awareness. In focused attention, you have to focus your mind. You have to concentrate your mind. But on the other hand, in open awareness, your mind has an open attitude. You have no any boundaries. So mind has its freedom. Mind is in a very relaxed, comfortable position. And again, it is not restless. Again, it is not distracted. So this is another type of concentration we can recognize, especially in Vipassana. So this way, the concentration enlightenment factor also going to develop. Once everything is in good shape, we have nothing to do. We simply have to maintain it. Suppose your mind is very completely free from any defilement, and you can clearly show the clearly understand the mind. If there is any defilement, if there is any kind of a thought going to arise, you can clearly recognize. So in a way, you are in a fairly comfortable situation. Basically, nothing to do at this place. So at this place, we have to very clearly understand how not to do anything. Typically, we are suffering from doing syndrome. We like to do various things. But now, at this kind of a situation, we basically have nothing to do. Simply have to watch. A very soft, effortless kind of observation is there, that's all. And mind is very comfortable, no friction, no attachment, no grasping. There is no any kind of entanglement in the mind. Mind has its clarity in a very still position. And mind is spacious and you are simply watching. Nothing to do. Just be. So this is where equanimity enlightenment factor develops. So you can understand using Chittanupassana. So all these seven enlightenment factors going to further and further improve. And because this is in a way a little easy to understand compared to the other, because the yogi is in a fairly advanced state when you are doing this kind of a Chittanupassana. Because Chittanupassana is not easy to do for a beginner, because various defilements, various thoughts arising in the mind is quite tempting. So you get caught. But as our mindfulness enhances, as our mindfulness deepens, we get that confidence. We get that refuge. Mindfulness becomes fairly established. So with that established mindfulness and clarity of mind, you can watch each and every thought, missing anything. So missing nothing, basically. I mean, every thought you can clearly recognize. As a result, you rarely get caught to these mental processes. Rather, they become calmed down, they become go away, because you have the strength of mindfulness. You have the strength of clear comprehension that further and further improves your spiritual qualities, improves your maturity, improves the ability to maintain such a mind. And as a result, when the mind is in a very comfortable such situation, you have nothing to do, just be. So equanimity going to come to the front. Now, among these enlightenment factors, so various enlightenment factors going to dominate. It is not that all these seven are at equal position. Time to time, different enlightenment factors come to the front. But more and more you develop towards the Vipassana, equanimity enlightenment factor is fairly strong. It may be a little weaker at the early stages, but as your mindfulness and all this wisdom going to grow, equanimity enlightenment factor come to the front. It starts to dominate. Mindfulness is always there. Investigation is always there. And concentration is there. Only kind of a way, it is not that focused attention, but open awareness. And equanimity is in its best level as you grow your mindfulness practice. So I think I have explained to some extent about how various enlightenment factors develop using Chittanupassana. And if you have any question related to today's explanation, or if you have any question related to your meditation, or if you have already forwarded any reports, so we can start that question and answer session.
Oh, sorry, Bhante, we've got currently four questions.
Yeah.
Question number one is sitting mindfulness. Venerable Bhante, during my sitting meditation, I watch the breath until it calms down, and after a while, I can feel rapture, sometimes a wave or goosebumps-like feeling. When this happens, I watch each sensation. My question is, how do I proceed to calm it down? Much merits for your guidance. That's the end.
Chatu, could you repeat the last statement? How do I repeat what?
How do I proceed to calm it down? Much merits for your guidance. That's the end.
I didn't get the point.
So when the sensation's happening, they want to sort of reduce the intensity and diminish it. That's sort of what they say. They want to calm those sensations down.
No, actually, we are not trying to do any kind of willful reduction. So basically, our idea is to observe various sensations as they truly are. We don't need to have any kind of control over them by doing anything willfully, but rather we have to observe them as it is. Now, if we expect that all these sensations to behave in some certain way, so that is wrong attitude. Because various sensations arise due to various causes, and our job is simply to observe them. Now, if we expect a certain pattern, if we expect a certain style, certain behavior, that is actually wrong. We simply have to allow them to behave as they like. And we are mere observers. We are simply observing it in an equanimous manner. We have no preferences. We are not expecting a painful feeling to change to a happy feeling. And we are not expecting a happy feeling to last for a long time. We are not expecting any painful feelings to disappear quickly. But rather, when painful feelings arise, we simply be aware of it. We have patience, we have endurance to observe it. On the other hand, if there is a happy feeling, we are not attached to it. Rather, we allow them to be. We are not afraid of them either. And they may disappear and we are still stable. We are still equanimous. Various kinds of sensations also arise at various places. And as a result of our concentration, they appear sometimes unbearable. But they will disappear. We have to have some amount of patience, endurance, in order to recognize them and in order to be with them so that we can understand how they behave. We can understand their real nature. So therefore, don't expect to change these whatever the sensations according to your wish. Rather, you have to have a kind of an attitude of openness, kind of an acknowledging. You have kind of a radical acceptance. So if it is painful sensation, okay, I'm ready to accept it. If it is a happyful situation, happy feeling, I'm ready to accept it. If it is a neutral feeling, I'm happy to accept it. In a way, it is a little bitter at the beginning, but need to learn it. So I ask you to carry on the way it is rather than trying to change as you wish.
Question number two, Bhante. There was a small disturbance. Hopefully you can hear us. I'll go to the second one. Sitting mindfulness. Question number two of four. Venerable Bhante, I practice sitting mindfulness by being mindful on the breath. When I start, I can feel different sensations of breath touching the nostril and the differences between inhalation and exhalation. When I start observing the breath as start, middle, end, the full breath, I can feel the changes of the consecutive breaths. I can observe the consecutive breaths becoming shorter and subtle. However, there is somewhat different than the steps highlighted in the Dhamma talk. According to the sutta, the long and short nature of the breath comes before the full body sensation. In my scenario, this is the other way around, in that I feel the full breath before the differences of consecutive breaths. Thought of writing down this experience. With metta, that's the end.
If you can recognize various phases, beginning, middle, end, that's good. And again, if you can recognize whether this is longer compared to the previous breath, that this is shorter compared to the previous breath, that's all fine. But slowly, slowly, it starts to calm down because the calmness process leads to the sort of a tranquility. So therefore, ultimate result is breath going to calm down. When breath calms down, it becomes shorter and shorter, and ultimately it almost disappears. So this is a typical natural characteristic, and if time to time it fluctuates, doesn't matter. You don't need to have any kind of a doubt about it. But rather have an open attitude. So I don't have any kind of a fixed pattern, fixed framework in my mind, expecting breath to behave in that manner. We can lead to the other question.
Okay. Question number 3 of 5, sitting mindfulness. Bhante, Theravan Saranai. When I do sitting meditation, the breath is quite subtle. Later, it slowly vanishes off. Then I am at a place looking at my thoughts. This happened for many months now. I just keep watching what comes and passes by. Didn't go after it. Lately, the thoughts are less and less. At times, I feel like a memory coming in, but like a picture or a photo. When I come out of the meditation, my body feels quite energized. Also, can you please explain what is samatha and vipassana when it comes to cittanupassana? In day-to-day, I feel like at times my eye is like a camera and the children are running around. It feels strange. Correct me if I am in the wrong direction. Much merits, Bhante. That's the end.
Yeah. So basically, when it comes to cittanupassana, I mean, we don't need to very carefully analyze whether what is samatha and what is vipassana here. Vipassana, we are recognizing various changing phenomena. It may be mental phenomena, and we are now trying to recognize these various phenomena, looking at them. So we are carefully recognizing them, investigating them. We watch them objectively. So this whole process, therefore, we can say it is vipassana. But on the other hand, if you like, you can say, okay, I have clarity of mind in order to do this. So kind of a calmness is available. So all these have, in a way, kind of samatha. But I mean, calmness, samatha, vipassana go hand in hand. We don't need to have a very thick boundary line.
Question number 4 is a general question. Dear Bhante, I have a friend who is suffering from depression. They are not Buddhist, but are interested in spirituality. Do you have any advice to help them with metta? That's the end.
Yeah, actually, they may have sort of a obsessive thought going on again and again. So you may have to make him somehow exit from that thought process. Kind of escape from that thought process when we are some kind of a depressive thought pattern. So ultimately we get obsessed, we get depressed. So ultimately it's difficult to come out of it. So it's a kind of a sad situation, because we are the ones ultimately going to be victimized to this, our own kind of thinking. One option is that you can get the help of talented. So some typical medicine is also available. You can get the help of a psychiatrist, and he may give a kind of different medicines. And as a result, this person would be able to come out of this depressive state. And on the other hand, you need to convince this person that he has to see a doctor, he has to get some help from the others, he has to trust the others. And because unlike the other physical ailments, these mental illnesses are, say your leg is broken, hand is broken, I need to consult a doctor. But on the other hand, when we go something wrong in our mind, and we think we have no problem. I mean, we think we are correct. We are normal. But on the other hand, the others will recognize, okay, this person is not in a proper situation. He needs someone's assistance. So we need to trust the others. So others have a big role to play on this kind of situation. So try to help him. Yes. Chatu, you can go to the next question.
Okay, yeah, it's much clearer now. Question number 5 of 7. This is day-to-day activities. If in our normal life we recognize any thoughts such as anger, jealousy, eagerness, etc., and can control them, will it fall under citta anupassana? Can we develop such situations up to upekkha or equanimity? That's the end.
Yeah, I mean, recognizing various defilements and recognizing various whole, either whole.
We may have just lost Bhante there again. We might wait, but if not, I think we'll possibly look to close it and put the questions offline to Bhante for a response.
Yeah, I think Sarna said that completely dropped off now. Earlier it was just, Yeah, Chatu, I think we'll go ahead and close the session.
Okay, all right. Thank you, everyone. We had a good range of questions today. Possibly some of them have been repeated. I'm not sure, I have to double check. But there was definitely some new questions in there, which is great. There's also a good range of them, walking, sitting, and general questions. So look, thank you to everyone who's joined for participating and putting your valuable input. And also much merits to Bhante for continuing the session, even with all these troubles and internet issues. And we know he's very busy as well in his schedule. So we're very lucky to have someone who can guide us in this sort of practice. And also thank you for all the organizers and other seen and unseen people making sure that this program happens and helping us continue on to this journey. So with that, I'd like to sum up the session and end for today. Te Reo Sanai, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.